is going out to the world and preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he kept doing that, and the church kept doing that. And the gospel went all the way from Jerusalem, where you just had a Jewish group of people, 120, to countless multitudes, all the way to Rome, Italy. And the movement of God and the rush of the water of life that began to come down on Pentecost and flowed out, it kept rushing and flowing all the way to Rome, and it keeps on going in our day. And it always, the movement of God, the Holy Spirit, is from the east to the west. The east to the west. And it kept going from Rome to Europe to America and to Asia. And this is the power of Almighty God that keeps on flowing. And we come now to a point in the book of Acts where it's Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. And I'll tell you what happened. Because these people, the disciples of Christ, are witnessing and telling about him and his death, burial, resurrection so that they could be saved, there was opposition. And by the way, if you try to stand up for the Lord, you're going to be opposed. Steve and Brenda are my soul-winning partners. Brenda shared this morning in Sunday school. They're now calling her a holy roller. A holy roller. That's been going on for years. Holy roller. That's an old phrase. I don't know if they still use it. How many have heard holy roller? Just want to, okay. All right, a lot of you have. But it's just because she's coming to church Sunday morning, coming to Sunday school, going Sunday evening, going Wednesday. And she goes out on Thursday to witness for Christ with her husband. And I'm just saying to you, that is normal Christianity. That is what the norm is. That's normal New Testament Christianity. Just like Isaac back there. We look at Isaac. What are you, 19 still, Isaac? 19 years of age from Arizona. And I look at Isaac and I say, he's a great guy, you know, he's just a great testimony for you. But that's the norm. Right. If you look at the Bible, that's the norm. Right. It's just that there's a subnormal church today, and we need the rush of the wind and the water of the Spirit of God flowing through us so that we can get back to normal Christianity. That's what revival is to take a subnormal church and bring it back to New Testament normal power and practice. And so that's what was going on. The church went from 120 in Acts 3. The Holy Spirit came down in Acts 2, and then Peter preached. And in Acts chapter 2 there, when he preached, the Bible says that 3,000 people believed on Christ in one sermon. I don't think we have quite that many here today. But anyway, one sermon, 3,000 came to faith in Christ. And these are the people that crucified Jesus. They're the people that were hardened against him. I've been to Jerusalem. Jewish people can be tough. But they changed their mind and they said, he is our Messiah. And they believed and they were saved. And they put on the uniform. You know, the Scranton Knights, you guys put on a uniform. And they put on a uniform. And that was, they got baptized. They got dunked. And their family did funerals for them and kicked them out of the family because of that. But 3,000. And then it grew to 5,000. The church in Jerusalem, many historians said, in a short time grew to 25,000 disciples of Jesus Christ. And it may have been even more than that. And it got to the point where they had like a little heaven on earth. They said, this is great. And God said, no, this isn't great. And I'm going to raise up a devilish man named Saul of Tarsus. And he started killing Christians and arresting them. And these disciples were haunted. And they had to leave Jerusalem, all but the apostles. But everywhere they went, they were telling people the good news about Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to be doing that. Amen? Right. Wherever we go. And they did that. And then a great church was brought together in Antioch through the Jerusalem church. They planted a church. And by the way, once we fill our Jerusalem from Carbondale all the way down to Wilkes-Barre, from Tunkhannock all the way to Moscow, once we fill that, and this building is filled up to more than twice, we have to have two services, we're going to be ready to plant a church like they did. And they planted a church. And it was in Antioch, and that church grew to 100,000, 200,000, in the days of John Chrysostom, 300,000 people. I'm just saying to you, we need it again. We need the flow of God, and it is unstoppable. And the people in Jerusalem, they were so afraid. Who is this timid group that were hiding in an upper room trembling after we crucified their great leader? We thought once we got their leader, it was over. But my friends, it wasn't over. It kept getting stronger. Why? Well, we'll talk about that, because he did rise from the dead, last I checked out. Amen. He's alive. And so they were threatening them. They were beating them. They were putting them in jail. Said, "You can't speak in this name anymore." And Peter said, "We cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard." You know what? Why a lot of Christians can't speak? Because they spend all their time in front of this. Right. By the way, this should be turned off right now if you didn't turn it off. Power off, power off. We need the power of God on. Too much time in front of video games. Right. Getting awful quiet in here. Compare the time in your video games that you spend with the Bible. I went out soul winning yesterday with my partner. We went out about 3 hours, 4 hours. He wanted to go back. I said, "Listen, just pretend this is a video game. You won't get bored." And I just kept saying it like I usually do all day, all afternoon. Every time he said, "Are we going to go back?" I said, "Just pretend it's a video game." I'm talking about the flow of God. Man. The flow of God. And God flows through you. He gives you things, and then you give it out, and he flows. And these men couldn't stop it. They were starting to panic. It sounded like the more they fought against these disciples of Jesus Christ, the bigger it got. And they just started to panic. By the way, have you noticed that when God anoints somebody with his power to do something, you can't fight it. Now, we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, good luck trying to stop you. Good luck. And there's also an anointing in the political realm. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, think of that number, 45, Isaiah 45, God anointed it. He wasn't even a saved man that I know, but his name was Cyrus. And Israel, there's a coin with Cyrus on it. He was a great Persian leader. And he was anointed by God to help the Jews go back and rebuild their temple. He delivered them from captivity. And I don't know about you. I'm not preaching politics or party, but I don't believe Biden is anointed to be the president by God. For one thing, he stands for everything against with God, but he doesn't look very presidential to me. It seems like the more they try to fight the real president, the higher he goes up. They can't seem to bring him down. Right. Just had another case where, I'm telling you, the Supreme Court's going to throw that Colorado thing out. You just watch it. It's just, they can't stop him. You can't stop the anointing of God when it comes to government, but you can't stop the anointing of God when it comes to Jesus Christ. Right. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. And I'm just saying to you, when you look at this, there was a man, and he was a great leader of the Jews, and he stood up, and they were like, "What are we going to do? We need counsel." His name was Gamaliel. "What are we going to do, Gamaliel?" And here's what he said. Here's his counsel. Acts 5:38-39. He says this, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." How would you like to fight against God? Hey, you guys in the back there, listen up. How would you like to fight against God? I wouldn't. He's all powerful. I'm just saying to you, Gamaliel said, look, you better leave these guys alone. Stop threatening them. Stop suing them. Stop putting them in jail. Because you're going to be fighting against God, possibly. And if this work is of God, or this counsel is of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. Amen? In other words, you can't stop the flow of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because once he rose from the dead, he and the Father sent the Holy Spirit down to give power to that witness and that word. And that's why Billy Sunday couldn't be stopped when he came to Scranton. And this city got so many people walked down the aisle and put their faith, said they were putting their faith in Jesus Christ, and they turned to the Lord, and about 1/4 of this whole city got saved. And about 10 years later, 3/4 of them were still serving God in the churches of this city. And I believe Scranton Revival Baptist Church is called to do what Billy Sunday did as an evangelist. We're called to witness for Jesus Christ and to turn this city upside down or right side up. Amen? And Gamaliel said, look, stop threatening these guys. You are not going to overthrow God's flow. You can't overthrow God's flow. When I was a little boy, my dad said, don't mess with me. He said, it'll be like a blank in a whirlwind. Don't mess with me. And we can't stop God's flow. And so let's put our sails up and get in the flow. Let's get in the water. Let him take us. And our church has seen great waves of growth in the past. And I believe that no outside opposition can overthrow God's witness and power. There's nothing greater than Jesus Christ, the power. But though you can't overthrow it from the outside, there is something that can stop God's flow. It can clog it up. It can clog it up. We have a men's revival seekers prayer meeting, and we pray, and we're asking God to open the floodgates and let the flow of the water of life flow out. We're praying for the power of the Holy Spirit as we give the gospel, as we preach and do the work of God. And God is hearing our prayer, and nothing can stop that power of God, because greater is he that's in us, Diane, than he that's in the world. But wait a minute, there's still something that can clog it up. And you know what can clog it up? Something can clog up the pipe of revival flowing through us. And I believe we're in that time right now as a church. And I want to preach to you this morning about that one thing. So the name of my sermon to you this morning is Remove Your Clog in the Pipe of Revival. Let me say that again. Remove your clog in the pipe of God's revival. And the first thing I want to say is that's illustrated here in the church at Jerusalem in chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. And we just read it this morning. I'll read it again. You look at it in God's word. Look at chapter 5, verse 9, through 11. It says there, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. You see, Peter was the apostle who was acting as the head pastor of the Jerusalem church. So it was his job to mete out church discipline. And, wow, Bobby. That was a big one. Good to see you, Bobby. That's the other Bobby. The other one's right back there. But it was his job to mete out discipline in that church, and he was also an apostle, and he had supernatural grace. And so he was confronting this couple. Now, keep in mind, this couple had been living a life of faith in Jesus, and they were professing faith, and they were giving finances, and they were there in that church and were part of that church and the witness of that church. And the flow of God was flowing through that church in a mighty way, and people were getting baptized. But somewhere along the line, even though they kept on still externally offering their money and their time and service in the church, somewhere along the line, a clog came in their heart. And they shared it with each other, and it built up until it stopped the flow of God, and it was in danger of cutting off the flow of the Holy Spirit and people getting saved and the work of God going forward. And listen to me, whenever that happens, it's important that you realize, even though you may be one person or two people, if you're involved in an unconfessed sin, it can clog up your life. And it can clog up the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And not only that, it can affect people all around you. And God knew that. So he had the pastor deal with it. By the way, there are times in my life when God taps me on the shoulder and says, you got to deal with that. And I said, Lord, why don't you deal with it? He goes, no, you're my deputy. You deal with it. You're the angel of the church. You deal with it. You see, that's what happened to Peter. And Peter was made aware of that, and it was a clog that could stop the revival that was going on. And so here's what you see. He's talking to Sapphira, and he's giving her an opportunity to repent. Her husband had already been given that opportunity. He failed to confess and turn from his sin. He kept on and on. Now, let me say something to you. And God took him out of this world, took him to heaven, no doubt. And now Sapphira, she had her opportunity. She didn't know her husband had been taken out. And so she did the same thing, and God took her out. What a sad thing that was. But no, it was actually a good thing, because what happened is that God was removing, listen to me, a clog in the pipe of revival. Now let me say something to you. Sometimes I'm preaching the Word of God and I'm getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean I'm sinlessly perfect or everything I say is perfect. I may say things wrong. Don't leave because I say something. Just look at your Bible, and that's your final authority, not me. But I get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'll say things I wouldn't normally be able to say if I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I have a boldness. And then I'll on Monday, I say, what did I say? I got myself in trouble here. Yeah. Why did I do that? Well, it's God. It's His power. And He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can do things that we shouldn't do. Things that we couldn't do, but we should do. Thank you. The Holy Spirit does that. Now, if you get drunk with wine and you get wine in you or alcohol, you will be filled with wine. Right. And it will control you and make you do things that normally you wouldn't do. Right. And that you shouldn't do. You see the difference? That's why it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. And so we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, so we can live the Christian life, because you can't live it without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And number two, filled with the Holy Spirit with that special filling and answer to prayer that He gives you to witness for Jesus Christ. And you see that in the book of Acts, and it's a wonderful thing that you see, but Satan saw it too. And do you know Satan sees when you witness for Christ? Satan sees if you try to teach a Sunday school class. Satan sees if you try to speak up for the Lord. And he doesn't want you filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to give in to your weakness. And guess what? He knows what your weakness is. Some people it's pride. Some people it's video games. Not that that's a sin in itself, but it could be a weight to slow you down, right? Some people, it's alcohol. That's a sin. Stay away from that junk. Amen. Some people, it's this or that or the other thing. Might be, for a guy, women. And he knows your weakness, and he dangles that out, and you get into that. He knows what your weakness is, and he will get you to be it. Some people, it's backbiting, it's slander, it's gossip, it's tearing things down. And so he knows what will do it. Some people, it's bitterness. They get bitterness in their heart. And that's why Jesus said, forgive others as God forgives you. And when you pray, if you don't forgive others, God won't answer your prayers. And so whatever your weakness is, Satan knows it. He will try to get you to listen to him. And guess what? He is not the Holy Spirit, but he is a spirit, and he is the unholy spirit. And once you start listening to Satan, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're now filled with Satan and what he wants you to do and say. Do you know that? You say, no, I'm a child of God. I can't be filled with Satan. Yeah, you can be, in the sense, not that he indwells you, but that you're so under his influence. That's why Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, what? Satan. He was speaking to the Apostle Peter. You can be that. I can be that. And that's exactly what happened here. And he gave them opportunity, but they didn't repent. And so he had to take them out of the flow of God. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 9. Peter is speaking, and I'll read it to you. Peter said about this sinful clog and their pipe of revival and stopping the Great Commission. He said, how is it that ye have agreed together, because they were a couple and they were doing this both together. How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? And I want to tell you what that means. The word tempt doesn't mean you tempt God to sin, because God can't sin. There, it does sometime, but there the word means to test. And so what Peter was saying is, how is it that you have tried to put God to the test? How is it that you have put God to the test? He's moving in revival. He's moving and people are getting saved. He's moving and people are giving huge offerings to the Lord from their heart. How is it that you have done this sin and they lied. They were living hypocritical lives. They were doing one thing on the outside in the church, but another thing in their home. They were doing something in their hearts that was wrong. They were being hypocrites. You're one thing in church and you're another thing in your marriage or your home life. And God hears you and sees you and smells you, and he says, it stinks. I don't like it. And not only that, it's going to stop the flow of God. It's going to create a clog in the pipe of revival. And it is that important. And so he's saying, the Apostle Peter said, how is it you think you can test God? Don't you know that God sees you? Don't you know that God will deal with you? Do you think if you put God to the test, he's going to fail? Don't test him. Now, how many of you are parents here? All right, you've raised children. Have you ever had a child test you to see if you'll discipline them? In other words, they're getting really testy, you know, and they're putting you to the test. And they're saying, you know, I'm going to push your buttons, and are you going to deal with me about this? And if you're a parent, I know a Wilda will do this. They're afraid of a Wilda. They used to tell me, I said, you afraid of your dad? They say, no, I'm afraid of my mom. And I was afraid of both of them. I'll tell you what, if I got in trouble, my dad, it would be like a spanking. My mom, you never knew what was going to hit you. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm a baby boomer. You know, we got it. But I'm just saying that God says through Peter, how is it that you thought you could back God down? How is it that you thought you could get away with it? Maybe you thought you were so special and so privileged that you could get away with it. Listen, God's no respecter of persons. Right. And a man of God shouldn't be either. Amen. I have been here for many years, and I have seen the greatest people in the congregation fall the lowest. Right. Over and over again. and I've had to deal with it. You're talking 46 years of pastoral experience, so I've seen this before. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying that a man of God has to stand up to it. By the way, you have to stand up to it in your family. If you see it in your kids, your spouse, you have to be the leader. You have to call it out. If you can't do it, you're like Adam and you're going to be a failure. And he caused the whole human race to fall. Because he couldn't do it. When I say it's always a woman, I don't mean that it's always the woman. Ultimately, it's the man. But the woman has such an effect on the man. You know that? And so I'm just saying that's why there needs to be men of God today. Amen. Thank God we got men in the nation that'll stand up and say, no, we're not going to be a one world globalist thing. Amen. I know the globalists don't like that, but you got to stand up to them. You say, well, they'll threaten me. Where's your courage? Good. Peter had courage. Amen. He stood up here and God backed him up. And God does back us up, and because it's lives are at stake, people are at stake. We need the power of God in the church. We need the flow of God in the church. We need a real church, not a pussycat fake church. Right. Amen. Not playing church. God is not mocked. We don't need that. Right. And so there was that need for the flow of God. I remember one time I was preaching like this. And the head deacon's wife did not like it. And she just went right down the aisle. Boom! She hit the back doors and they flew open and bang, bang, bang. And everybody in the church just went. Now some preachers would change their message just to stop that. But you know what I said? I said, you need to change your living. And I've done this before. Luke, you want to come up here? You know what I'm going to do. Luke knows he's been through this drill a million times. And you've seen it a million times, but some of you may not. Luke, stand there. And now Luke comes to church and he's walking with the flow of God. So let's go that way, Luke, and I'll do that. And see, the Bible's just encouraging him. I'll turn around. Knocked his glasses off, knocked his head. You think he's going to like that sermon? No, he says, I don't like that one. So you say, you're rubbing me the wrong way, Pastor. And I just say, turn that cat around. If I'm rubbing your fur the wrong way, turn that cat around, right? That's all you got to do. And that's all Ananias had to do. That's all Sapphira had to do, right? But they didn't do it. And so they got hit and God had to take them out to an early death. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to test God in that way. And so they had the opportunity to get right. And God will give you the opportunity to get right. God will give you time. He even said to Jezebel, I gave her time to repent. Boy, speaking of Jezebel, I hope Hillabelle doesn't run again for president. I don't know how I got that in there, but I hope it doesn't happen. And if it does, may God raise up a Jehu, and I believe he will, to take that down. But I'm just saying, God is saying, no, I am going to answer this. But if you confess and you say the same thing about your sin, whatever your sin is, I don't know what the clog is. That's not important right now. It's whatever the sin is in your life that you stubbornly refuse to give up and you keep putting God to the test and he gives you time and you keep doing it. Whatever that is, today is the day to say, I'm gonna say the same thing God says about my sin. You say, but I like my drugs. I like my opium, sir. I like my pot. That's an old word for marijuana. I don't like your marijuana, and neither does God. Right. You say, Pastor, you're rubbing me the wrong way. Then turn that cat around. Turn it around. You say, listen, I had friends. My generation brought in marijuana. We brought it in, man. We were the generation, the hippie generation. They brought it in. And I remember my friends, and I saw them lose motivation. I saw what it did to them and what it was doing to our country. And I'm just saying to you, God was moving and he couldn't allow that. So whatever's clogging you and is your stubborn refusal to turn from it, to decide today, I want to go with God. I want to be in his full flow. I don't want to hinder him. And God has been moving in our church by the Holy Spirit. Two weeks ago we had 29 out on soul winning night. It looked like a prayer meeting night, right, Brother Bob? Like you said, and last Thursday we had 30 people out. We've come to three buses going out for the third time since we got the King James Bible. Now we have three buses going out and bringing people in. Brother Matt brought in 34 in his bus, Brother Kyle. And you know, you were driving it. More people saved and baptized this year so far than a number of years so far. I, as the angel of the church here, can say without equivocation that this year, 2024, we are now in our third great wave of growth since we've received the King James Bible. There's no time for us to have a clog in our heart. No time to keep that clog in your life. I am begging you this morning, don't do it. Listen, we are a team. We, each one of us, a chain is only as good as its weakest link. And so turn your life over to God and give up that thing, whether it's a sin or a weight that is clogging up the flow of God in your life. Because we're praying for those floodgates to open up and God can do great things in and through your life. Let me just say one more thing. Some of you don't even have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says very clearly, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. When I got saved, guess what? I got the Holy Spirit. You said you get the Holy Spirit when you spoke in tongues? No, I never did speak in those tongues. But I have the Holy Spirit. Because the moment you're saved, you are permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. That's a wonderful thing. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. It's not like certain people teach. You get saved on one day and then you sin and you lose it. And then you get saved again and you lose it. And you get saved and lose it and saved and lose it. They're more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. And they hope they die on the right day. No. Once you get saved, the water is within you, a well of water, ever springing up into eternal life. Now, you can clog it, but you can't take it away.
Right.
And so I'm saying there are some of you, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if any man have not the Son, he shall not see life, Jesus said. But the wrath of God abides on him. And I remember a time in my life I didn't have the Son. And who is the Son? Jesus. You don't get the Spirit unless you realize that without Jesus, you're going to be judged for your sins. And you're going to go to hell and pay for those sins someday. Every one of them. In literal fire. And most people are going to hell. The broad way is the wrong way, but most people are going that way. You just watch the Super Bowl today. Most of the people in the stands are going to hell. But there is a way to be saved. It's called the narrow way. It's called the narrow gate. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's when you give up trying to save yourself and you realize that Jesus is God in the flesh hanging on a cross, and God up there hanging on that cross is reconciling a world of sinners to himself and paying for their sin, every last one of their sins. So that anybody in the world that recognized he died, paid for the sins of the world, was buried and rose again, and will put their trust in Jesus Christ, he will save you just like that. You say, how do you know? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, maybe you'll get saved if you're good enough. No. It says, if you do that, thou shalt be saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. I just believe God.
Amen.
Because it's in the Bible.
Right.
My faith is not I saw some vision, I had some miracle that he did. I mean, that's fine if God did something for you. My faith is in the Word of God, the written Word of God. Salvation by Jesus Christ alone. How about you? Then you don't have the Holy Spirit. People say, I spoke in tongues, I have the Holy Ghost. No, you don't, unless you got saved by Jesus Christ. You have to be saved by Jesus Christ. Well, I got baptized. No, my wife said this morning in Sunday school, she got baptized as what, 13, 14? And she was just a teenage girl. And she was hoping to get her sins washed away. And her brother said, no, you should wait till you got one foot in the banana peel and one in the grave. Then get your sins washed away. But that doesn't take away your sin. But now Jesus Christ and his blood, that pays for sin if you put your faith in that blood. Have you done that? If you haven't, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit, are you letting him flow through you? Taken in with prayer and yielding to him and giving out by serving him, giving the gospel, living a life of love rather than a selfish life. God wants that. But if you got a clog in there and you're saved, God wants you to remove that clog in the pipe of revival. While we're having dinner, I want to finish this up, but I just want to give this to you now and ask you to bow for prayer. If every head would bow and every eye would close, I want to first of all say, if you do have Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're 100% sure based on faith in Jesus Christ that you're going to go to heaven, if you died today, you know 100% because of faith in Christ, you're going to heaven. Would you raise your right hand if you could say that? Amen and amen. All right, you may put it down. I appreciate that. Perhaps in this crowd there's somebody that you say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. I'd like to know what you know, that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? You couldn't raise your hand the first time, but I want to pray for you. Would you raise it right now? I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Two ladies, a mature lady, and then a young lady, a girl. Someone else. Oh. All right, hang on. Just raise your hand now if you want prayer for knowing that you're saved. Okay, I see those two hands. Two people raise their hand. Is there anybody else that wants that prayer? I want to pray for you this morning. All right, thank you. Another hand up that says, I want to know what you know, Pastor. I want to know I'm saved. All right, I want to talk to you, but I'm going to ask if you'll just look up at me. Only those, not those that didn't raise their hand, only those that raised their hand that second time. Would you look at me? Yeah, look at me. Yep, thank you. Just those. I just want to say this to you. You want to be saved, and God has made it simple. It's called God's simple plan of salvation. People try to make it complicated. The devil tries to make it complicated. It's really simple. Number one, you have to know that you've sinned against God. If you know that you've told a lie, you know that you've said a bad word, you know that you've thought a bad thought, that's a sin against God, right? You have to know that. Number two, you have to know that you're going to die to pay for your sin, and the second death is to be thrown in the lake of fire. That's what you owe. Do you know that? Do you believe that? If you believe that, that's the second thing. But the third thing you have to know is God is a loving God. He doesn't want to send you to hell, so he came down out of heaven to die for the whole world so that we could be saved. So that anybody in the world could be offered a free gift paid for by God. And you say, who is his name that died on that cross? Jesus is God in the flesh. He paid for our sin. He died. He was buried. Then he rose again because that meant that he did what God asked him to do. And God raised him back up. And now he's alive and he wants to save you. And what's the last thing you need to do? You need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I accept your gift. I believe that you did this so I could be saved, and I accept this gift. And you need to tell Jesus that and believe it in your heart that he is God who died and rose again, and say, Lord, I accept the gift. And then you can know you're going to heaven. You say, how can I know? The Bible says it. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So would you right now just bow your head and just tell Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to die and go to hell. But I put my faith in you that you died for our sins. and you promise to take away my sin and take me to heaven. Do that right now. Now, if you just did that, would you raise your hand? You just told Jesus that. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I'm going to ask that all of us be praying, and I'm going to ask our soul winners to come. And I'm going to ask those of you that prayed that prayer, would you just stand up where you are, right wherever you are. I got people come. And would you just meet me down front here? Just come on down front. Soul winners, please come. Brother Eddie, all you soul winners, just come. And that have been trained. And I'm going to ask that these young people come and these folks come. Yeah, come on. And all of us come. If you prayed that prayer, you come. And I'm going to have you go with somebody. And you're going to talk to somebody about what we just dealt. Lily, would you come over here? Lily? Would you talk to her? And you can go with her if you want. Give her. Take a slip, too. All right. Hang on. Hang on. All right, we have two young ladies that pray to receive Christ as their Savior, and they've come forward to make it public. And are they both planning to get baptized? And one is?
Anahera.
And the other is?
Sanyana.
And they're both here today to say they got saved by Jesus. Amen? All right, wonderful. Lovely young ladies. Amen and amen. All right. Let's see here now. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Other folks are being dealt with. Let's pray together and ask God to bless. Father in heaven, we do thank you for each one that's here today. Father, I thank you that your words live forever and that you are faithful. We know that you don't go against your word. We know that you've given us your word. We can rely on it, and you don't lie. So thank you that we can have the assurance of our salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that hasn't taken you up on that invitation to believe upon the Lord Jesus and rest their salvation on Christ, that they would do that, and then they would come forth and say, yes, I've been saved. Lord, thank you for those that have and that are going to be baptized, and just bless that time as well, and our dinner to come downstairs and the rest of this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's take a moment here. And now I know that we have birthdays. I know Mrs. Bloom has her birthday. And so praise the Lord for that. Mrs. Bloom has her birthday yesterday. And where's Eli?